Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometime during the day on October 31st in the year 1517, Martin Luther, a Roman Catholic priest and professor of theology at the University of Wittenberg in Saxony in Germany, walked down the main street of that small town of Wittenberg to the castle church to post 95 theses, or statements for discussion and debate, that he had written on the subject of the power and efficacy of indulgences. He went to post them on the door of the castle church, which, according to historical record, served as something of a community bulletin board where notices and other things were posted, because that was a place of high visibility, as many of the people went in and out of the church during the week. At the time, there was a practice of selling indulgences, a certificate that was supposed to be able to grant you forgiveness of sins, or at least release from the punishment, having to pay for the guilt of the sins that you have committed. And although in the territory that Luther lived in Saxony, the leader of that territory, the Duke, did not permit the sale of indulgences within that territory, Luther was aware that there were some of the people who lived in that territory and in his own town of Wittenberg who were going out of that territory of Saxony into neighboring areas where they were free to buy indulgences. And Luther was very concerned about this practice and about the effect that it had on the hearts and the lives of the people. Luther was very concerned that people were believing that claim of those who sold indulgences, that by buying that certificate, they could receive forgiveness of their sins. And so Luther wrote those 95 theses to challenge that idea from the clear teaching of the Bible that says that forgiveness of sins cannot be purchased by us, but that it has already been purchased for everyone on earth in full by Jesus through his death on the cross and his holy, precious blood that he shed for all people. And so in the very first of his 95 theses, Luther emphasized that when Jesus said for people to repent, he didn't mean to go out and buy a certificate of forgiveness. He meant that the whole life of a believer should be a life of repentance, because we sin each day, and so each day we should repent of our sins, confess our sins to God, and look to Jesus again, to the gospel, for the assurance that our sins have been forgiven. So Luther was emphasizing that forgiveness is something that we freely receive from God, that God freely gives to us, that he delights to freely give to us. It's not something that we can earn by our good works or that we can pay for with any kind of money or anything else. So why did Luther pick October 31st as the day to post those 95 theses on the church door? Well, the next day, as some of you may know from the calendar of the church year, November 1st is All Saints' Day. And it was the tradition at that time on All Saints' Day, especially in the town of Wittenberg, where the Duke of Saxony, who lived in that town, had a vast collection of relics, which were supposed to be little pieces of the bones of the apostles or of other famous believers called saints at that time, or maybe other little articles of clothing or scraps of cloth or some other little thing that in some way had some connection to some of the apostles or other people who were considered to be especially holy Christians, saints at that time. And the idea was that by going and by seeing those relics, by venerating them, you could also receive some forgiveness of your sins. Or you could take some time off from the time that you would have to spend in between heaven and hell in purgatory after you die, paying for your sins through many hundreds of years of suffering. Luther wanted to challenge that notion. He was hoping that among some of those many people who would come to that church the next day on All Saints Day would be some others who were academics, who were students of theology, who would be interested in having that kind of debate and discussion with Luther about the efficacy of indulgences and about whether it's proper to pay money for a certificate of forgiveness. Now, Luther probably could not have imagined how successful his plan ended up being, and not entirely in the way that he had originally planned it, because people took those 95 theses and began to publish them, at first in Latin, and then they were translated into German and into other languages of other European countries. And so very soon, many of the people of Germany and of the other countries of Europe were reading Luther's 95 theses, his statements for discussion and debate about indulgences in their own languages, and they were talking about them in their local towns and communities. And so that event, Luther's posting and the subsequent publication and distribution of the 95 Theses, was really the first breakthrough event that set in motion that movement to correct many of the false teachings and false practices that had crept up and had taken root in the Christian church in Europe already for hundreds of years by that point in time. And so this date, October 31st, All Hallows Eve, the day before All Saints' Day, is the day on which we mark the beginning of the movement now known as the Reformation. The Reformation was not a political revolution. It was a doctrinal reformation based on the truth of the gospel, the pure teaching of God's word. And so our sermon text today from John chapter 8 is a fitting one for this occasion, where we hear Jesus telling us that the truth will set you free. And as we read about the life and teaching of Jesus in the gospel books in the Bible, we see him living out that freedom every day of his life when he was living on earth in earthly form. We see that also played out in the events around our sermon text from John chapter 8. If we go back to the beginning of John chapter 8, we see that Jesus had spent the night on the Mount of Olives just outside Jerusalem, and then early in the morning he went back into Jerusalem, into the temple courts, and he began teaching people there in the temple courts as he had done often before. But on that day, there was quite a disturbance while Jesus was teaching, because a group of Jewish religious leaders brought before Jesus a woman who had been caught committing the act of adultery. And so those Jewish religious leaders challenged Jesus. They were trying to trap him. They said to him, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? And Jesus didn't immediately respond, at least by speaking out loud, but he calmly stooped down and began to write on the ground, in the dust of the ground. The Bible doesn't tell us what he was writing. We can guess that maybe he was writing a Bible passage from the Old Testament, or perhaps, as some scholars say, was the case at that time. Sometimes judges would write down their judgment on the ground. Maybe that's what Jesus was doing. But the Jewish leaders pestered Jesus to speak an answer to the challenge that they had presented before him. And so finally Jesus said, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And after Jesus said that, one by one, all of the people who were assembled there ready to execute that woman dropped their stones and walked away, acknowledging silently that not a single one of them was without sin. And then after they had all left, then Jesus shows the woman the way of freedom by telling her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." And then not long after that, Jesus was challenged again by the Pharisees, some of those religious leaders of the Jews. They were claiming that Jesus' testimony about himself, who he was, and his mission was not valid because it was just he himself testifying about himself. Jesus replied to them that they were simply judging him by what they could see. That Jesus seemed to be just an ordinary person just like them. But Jesus told them that what they could not see was that Jesus was not ministering or teaching on his own authority, but that he was doing so on the authority of God the Father. That God the Father himself testifies about Jesus. And in fact, we see that happening when Jesus was baptized. The voice of God the Father spoke from heaven, and the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And we hear again the voice of God the Father testifying that Jesus is the Savior that God has sent. Again, when Jesus was transfigured, when his appearance was changed shortly before he went to Jerusalem for the final time for his execution. And again, when Jesus was in Jerusalem for that final time, the voice of God the Father spoke while Jesus was teaching a crowd of people. And God the Father testified that Jesus is the Savior that God had sent. And now after Jesus had said all those things, we read in John chapter 8 that some of those Jews who were there listening to Jesus' teaching, some of them did believe in Jesus. They believed that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior that God had promised to send. And so now we see in the beginning verses of our sermon text for today that Jesus is speaking to those Jews who believed in him. Jesus promised to them that they could be free just as he was. That's the precious gift that Jesus wants to give to all people. He is our perfect substitute. He has completely fulfilled all the demands of God's law on our behalf. And he has paid the full penalty for all of our sins in our place by his suffering and death on the cross. We have not earned forgiveness for ourselves. We don't deserve forgiveness or salvation because of our many sins against God's law. Yet forgiveness and salvation is ours as a free gift from God's grace. That is what gives us real freedom. Freedom from the punishment that our sins deserve. Freedom from the power of sin controlling us and controlling everything that we think and say and do. Freedom instead to live our lives in service to God out of thanks for his love to us. Freedom, as Jesus said to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, freedom to go and not sin anymore. That is real freedom. Jesus guarantees his promises by stating in verse 36 of our reading, "So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free." But how sad it is that so many people don't recognize the necessity of Jesus' work and of his sacrifice to make this marvelous gift of freedom possible for them. Even those Jews who believed in Jesus that we read about in John chapter 8, they even didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. In verse 33, they replied, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say you will be set free?" They thought that just by being Jewish, just by being descendants of Abraham, they were automatically favored by God and that God would always bless them. But in love, Jesus responds to them and to their idea by saying, "Amen, amen, truly I tell you, everyone who keeps committing sin is a slave to sin." Every person who commits sin really is living not in freedom. We might think that we're free from having to obey God's laws, but God tells us when we sin, it's really slavery. Sin is controlling us, controlling our lives. And those chains of sin that bind and control us come in many various forms and kinds, in lust, anger, hatred, fear, doubt, guilt, and in the compulsion to try to save ourselves by our own good works, those who are controlled by these sins are not free. And then Jesus goes on to say, a slave, someone who is controlled by sin, does not remain in the family forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you really will be free. It's only through Jesus, only through His redeeming love, that we are free, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And we have a full claim to remain in God's family forever, for eternal life with Him in His heavenly home. Back to Martin Luther. He knew all about the chains and bonds of sin and slavery from his own personal experience. As we read about Luther's life, we read that from a very young age, he always had a very sensitive conscience. And so he was bound by the terrible chains of guilt and the compulsion to try to save himself by doing more and more good works to make up for the sins that he had committed, a teaching that was very commonly taught in the Christian church of his day. And so he tried all kinds of ways to break those chains of guilt that he felt tying him up and weighing him down. He worked very hard at his studies all throughout his years of schooling, and eventually he gave up a secular career as a lawyer, which would have earned him quite a comfortable living. He gave all of that up to enter a monastery, giving away all of his earthly possessions. And then later on, he became a priest, and then later a professor of theology. He went out of his way working hard to go out into the town and beg for food for himself and the other monks at the monastery. He fasted and prayed and even inflicted physical pain on his body, beating himself with a whip to try to earn favor from God and to try to pay for his own sins. But in doing all of that, he found no freedom. He found no inner peace. Not until he finally learned about the true nature of righteousness. That righteousness is not something that we earn by our own good works, but that righteousness is a declaration of God the Father because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. Only when Luther finally realized this truth from God's word did he finally find and truly feel the freedom that he had been yearning for. Luther said that before this discovery about the free righteousness from Jesus that God gives to us, before that discovery, he had looked at Jesus as a harsh taskmaster, someone who was a strict judge who was ready to strike him down as punishment for his sins, rather than as a loving, gracious, merciful Savior who had become man in order to set him free. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you enjoy this freedom? Well, Jesus offers it to you in abundance. What Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, he also says to you and to me, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. The Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 3, gave the assurance that Luther cherished so deeply. When Paul wrote, we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul also writes, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is the true heart of the Reformation. That is the heart of true Christianity. We are free from the guilt and fear and worry of punishment because of our sins. Because through faith in Jesus as our Savior, the righteousness of God is ours as a free gift. And so we can now say, together with the Apostle Paul, as he writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How does that freedom, how does this peace with God become ours? Jesus says in our reading, "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so in order to keep us steadfast in the truths of God's love for us, God has given us His Word, the Bible. It is through God's Holy Word that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to set us free by giving us faith in Jesus as our Savior and by continuing to strengthen us in faith in Jesus as our Savior throughout our whole life long until God chooses to call us out of this life to our eternal home with Him in heaven. But unfortunately, as we look at the world around us, and as we even look at the Christian church in the world today, there are many Christians and even very many Lutherans who have not heeded Jesus' call to remain in His Word. And yet, even in the midst of all the confusion in the world around us, and even all the confusion in the Christian church in the world today, we have the truth that can make and can keep us truly free. Free from guilt. When Jesus says that we know the truth and remain in His words, we are really His disciples. We are free in Jesus. We are free through the truth of His love, His forgiveness for our sins, through His full salvation, His free salvation for all of us. We have been declared righteous in God's sight through faith in Jesus. And so we are now at peace with God. We stand before God righteous and holy in His sight, all because of His grace to us through Jesus our Savior. And so as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The truth has set us free. May God in His grace keep us firm in that truth. Amen.